Today on The Journey.
I heard a great quote from a guy that said, "Lord, give me just enough to not be able to compromise what I believe and do anything dishonest, but not too much that I would celebrate myself and take your gift for granted."
Wealth can be a Trojan horse rolled behind the walls of our souls. It can lead us to believe that all is well, when in fact the enemy is using it to dull our response to God's promptings. Today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tunch Ilkin inspect the blessing and deceit of money and talk about its role in the battle for every man's allegiance. Before that, I want you to know about Ron's encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. It reaffirms, from the book of Joshua, that God is in control and has great things for you to do. Strong and Courageous is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more about this inspiring resource later in the program. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part two of their discussion, Under Attack, The Burden, On the Journey.
Welcome to a special edition of The Journey. I am here with Tunch Ilkin. Tunch played in the NFL for 14 years. Tunch, we go through this introduction.
Right,
every time.
I know, yeah. People are going to be sick of hearing it. I don't care that he played football. Who cares?
The listeners, I hope, get to know you by this point.
Yeah.
But he had a great career playing for the Steelers and also now color analyst for the Steelers Broadcasting Network, and also a pastor of men's ministry.
Right, right. And that's my real passion, Ron, is my responsibility and my job here to be able to challenge and encourage men to follow hard after God.
You know, one of the things we haven't talked about in your career, and I think this is important, particularly with what we're going to talk about today, you've had some opportunities to coach.
Yes, yes.
And for a variety of reasons, but one big reason is the opportunity to come and really impact the lives of men in a ministry. You've chosen not to do that.
Yeah, you know what? The thing about football is if you allow it, it can consume you to the point where you lose children, marriage, because it is a consuming game. And you've heard the stories. We talked about Bill Walsh in our last recording about his obsession with winning to the point of he lost all his joy. You hear about Joe Gibbs, who used to sleep at the facility instead of going home on Wednesday and Thursday nights. And then you hear about Bill Belichick. His family comes in for dinner Wednesday and Thursday night at the facility
because
he's not going home. And every moment he's on the exercise bike watching video. And I have five opportunities to coach in the NFL with five different teams. And there was part of me that really wanted to do that, like David. And I thought to myself, I could do this. But in the end, just through prayer and the Lord really saved me from me. And when people ask me, they say, "Tunch, do you regret not coaching?" And I said, "No, you know what? I have the coaching job that I want."
And it's with men. And we are glad you do here at the Bible Chapel. Not just at the Bible Chapel, but really throughout the country. God has given you opportunities to speak to men. And Tunch, we're talking about men engaging in the battle. There is a battle going on.
Right.
We've got to engage in it. And we're looking at the different battlefields. We're focused right now on the world. And one of the things the world tells us is it's all about the stuff. We saw that last time with Solomon. And Solomon, at the end of his life, said, "Man, it was futile. I tried everything, like chasing the wind. It was meaningless." Mm-hmm. In Luke 16, Jesus told his disciples a parable. And the story was about how to handle money.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus closed his teaching with these words: "No one can serve two masters."
Right.
"Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Mm. And it's interesting because the Pharisees were listening to it. They never appreciated what Jesus said.
No, no. Especially when it cut to the heart.
Yeah. And Luke says in Luke chapter 16, the next verse, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. The Pharisees who loved money. Man, that's a temptation for a lot of people.
And you know, it's kind of interesting that you say that. If you say, "Look, I don't care about money and I want to do what God wants," in our culture, people kind of look at you like, "Wait, are you kidding me? You can't be speaking the truth." And I think if you were to have this conversation with Joe Blow on the street and say the love of money really is the root of all evil, you might get a sneer. You might get a "what are you talking about" kind of response.
The world and those in the world, and let's face it, the temptation is always there for everyone.
Right.
to not be satisfied with what you have and to always want the car you like. And you are looking at the Wave Runners and all those things.
The RV. The RV. When an RV drives down and I never saw an RV I didn't like.
In 1 Timothy, Paul hits the subject head on. In fact, Randy Alcorn in his book says there are over, 2,000 times money is mentioned in some form or fashion.
Wow.
So Jesus is going to hit that thing over and over. Scripture is going to hit it over and over.
Right.
Paul, 1 Timothy, addresses two types of people. First, he addresses the person who desires to get rich. Mm. And then he addresses the person who is rich. There are dangers with both of those. So let's start with the person who desires to get rich. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction." Let's think about that a little bit. Those who want to get rich. Paul says godliness and contentment is great gain. And in Paul's teaching, godliness is the entire scope of the Christian life. So godliness, living the Christian life with contentment, that's great gain. But a person who is always wanting the other stuff can cause them to plunge into ruin and destruction. Now, playing football, you're around a lot of guys who had a lot of money.
Right.
You've seen it firsthand. What did you see money do to people? And not just the money, but the desire for more.
An agent that I knew was very successful businessman, very wealthy. He had a huge house. I mean, it was like a little town. And I remember him telling me he wanted more. And I said, "Well, what do you want more for?" I said, "You got everything you need." He goes, "Oh, you can never have enough." I'll never forget. That was the first time I met anybody that was very upfront and honest about their desire. You can never have enough. And so he was trying to counsel me into buying a bigger house with a bigger mortgage. I said, "I don't want a bigger mortgage." And I said, "How big of a mortgage should a guy get?" He goes, "Something that would make you want to choke, because it would drive you more." I said, "No, thanks." And I remember thinking to myself, he traveled around the world. He was estranged from his first wife and his son and his daughter. He got married again. He had another son, and they were struggling. And I remember thinking to myself, does he not see this? You know, and I always say, you spend time with your son, you spend time with your wife. He was so driven for wealth and accumulation. And I used to think to myself, at what point are you content? At what point do you say, "Okay, this is nice. I got this giant house, and there's three of you guys living in this giant house. You could probably all three live here and never see each other." And I thought to myself, wow, I never want that.
So Paul says, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. That cuts right to the chase, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Think of guys like the Carnegies and the Mellons.
Right.
The money they had.
Yeah.
But at the end, they died in the same state as a person on the street.
Right, yeah, homeless, penniless, broken.
Naked we come, naked we leave. We know that, but we don't know that.
Oh,
we don't get it.
Oh, you know what? I made the mistake too. Early in my career, I got in some really bad investments. The guys in the locker room were talking about how they invested in this stock and invested in this building and this limited partnership. And I used to say, yeah, those limited partnerships, you're limited to put your money in. You don't get your money out.
Yeah.
And I got beat up early in my career. And whenever I would think back on those days, and I thought it was my own fault, it was greed, security greed. If I make this money, I'll have this security. Mm-hmm. And after I got hammered on those deals where I lost a substantial amount of money, and I remember I was so mad at myself, and the thought that kept coming to my mind, I had to be Mr. Big Shot Investor. I couldn't have just done something conservative like my dad or savings. You know, savings accounts were good enough for my dad, but not me. No, I got to be Mr. Wall Street. But it was a good lesson that was learned. And there was part of me that was upset that I lost the money. And then I was upset, like, you know what? That was the Lord's money that I was careless with. And I wasn't really trying to make more of it to give more. I mean, I wanted to say, oh, yeah, the more I could give more. And the Lord saw right through that.
That's why you want to make more money, right? Yeah, right? So you can give some more. That's why you need the big house, so you can have hospitality.
Yeah, I could have rationalized that.
You know,
that's why I wanted the Wave Runners in the RV.
So you could take people,
so I could
a
take
ministry.
People out. It was a ministry, and the RV ministry, and the Wave Runner ministry.
Now, here's a verse. It's right from Scripture. It's true. But let's be honest. This is a hard one here.
Yeah.
But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that.
Right. Oof.
You know, I read that.
Yeah.
I preach it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, come on, Lord, just food and clothing. I mean, I want a little more than that. And here's Paul saying, no, if you just have that, could you be content with just what God gives you?
Yeah, I heard a great quote from a guy that said, Lord, give me just enough to not be able to compromise what I believe and do anything dishonest, but not too much that I would celebrate myself and take your gift for granted. Hmm. I thought, ooh, yeah, that's what it means to be content in what the Lord has given you.
The prayer of Asaph.
Yeah.
God, don't give me too much that I become arrogant and forget you.
Right.
Or don't give me too little that I have to go steal.
Steal. I guess that's where the guy got it. Yeah, it must have been
that's
Asaph.
Why it was right from Scripture.
It was from Asaph. Yeah, I knew it.
Tell
had
that guy to get that quote back.
I'm telling him. I can't believe you didn't give credit to Asaph for that.
So, contentment with just what you have. Now, here's verse 9. People who want to get rich. So, we're talking about the desire to go get it, fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men. And that word plunge means to drown.
Right.
Plunge men, drown men in ruin and destruction. You were talking about the ESPN 30 for 30s all the athletes who had it all and lost it all because they wanted more. They weren't satisfied with what they had.
What was so striking about it, they came in all sizes, colors, and ages. There wasn't a unique category. And if you've never watched The Broke 30 for 30, it is phenomenal. It is very, very sobering. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys who was a teammate of mine, Leon Searcy, Leon was a great guy. He lost everything. He was one of those free agent bonus babies, made a ton of money, lost it all. Huh. Was flat broke, got a knee injury settlement, a workman's comp settlement for $80,000. And he says, I can't even believe I did this. He goes, I turned around and I bought a new car with it. I bought a Hummer. Hmm. And I remember watching that and hearing him say that. And I was thinking, you lost everything. You now got $80,000 and you spend it on a Hummer. What are you thinking? Are you thinking there's more money coming in somewhere, that you missed something, that there's some wealth out there? And it is the desire for wealth that a guy who has lost almost everything, I know this story too, who goes out to Vegas to gamble. He says, look, I've lost everything. I got some money here. I'm going to give it one more shot, and then start all over, and lost the rest of it. So it is this desire for more and more and more. And as we studied Solomon's life, there is no contentment in that. There is no, I finally got it. I'm ready to roll.
Chasing after the wind.
Yeah.
For the love of money, Paul says, is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. The love of money.
Right.
Greed, covetousness. It's like the root. It's the feeder system.
Yeah.
The initiator causing us to pierce ourselves with many griefs. So it's not always having a lot of money and losing the money.
Right.
It's other things you lose. Like the businessman determined to make a higher salary. He's going to travel the world. He's going to do his thing. He's going to climb the ladder. And he wakes up one day and his wife is gone and his family's gone. The dreamer who's always chasing after another scheme and trying to make a fortune, and he wastes his money in the hopes of the big win, like the guy who gets the money and then he goes to Las Vegas.
Right. Or the guy that finds out that there's this 40-unit condominium in Georgetown that's going to be a great return. Oh, that was me.
That was your-
Oops.
And how did that work
for you? It's gone. Gone, baby. It's like the movie, Gone, Baby, Gone.
Other people continually buy stuff, clothes to make them look better or feel better about themselves.
Right.
A larger home for impressing the others around them, cars. And again, it's a lie, but you slide into that nice leather and the smell of a new car, and there's something that says, oh, now this is cool. Others will look at me differently now. We buy that.
Yeah. See, the new car, does that do something for you? Honestly, I mean, if you were to pick a seduction, would it be a car or would it be a house? What would it be? Yeah, I'm just curious.
It'd be a nice Ford F-150 pickup.
Ooh, a nice pickup. I like pickups.
See?
Yeah, I like pickups. Ooh, yeah.
See,
I
got the car. I'm out of the car thing. I don't want the Beamer.
I don't want a car.
I want the pickup.
Yeah, I would say that.
I know for you, it'd be the Wave Runner.
It'd be toys.
It'd be the adventure stuff.
It would be boats. You know, a buddy of mine had a houseboat. We used to go fishing on the Keys. Here's my conclusion. Kind of, you know how Solomon had a conclusion at the end?
Yeah.
Here's my conclusion. Better to have a friend with Wave Runners, better to have a friend with a houseboat, and better to have a friend with the beach house. That's what's best to have.
Let them handle it.
Because you know, one of the things that we don't talk about is the more you own, the more it owns you. Guys that have stuff, they're always running to their cabins to fix something or to clean something.
Right.
There's something always wrong with the boat. I've rented many, many RVs. Out of the 10, 11 trips that I've taken in RVs, something usually breaks down.
If you own it.
You own it. That's right. You own it. Those are things that really pull on you. And once again, they take you away from things that are important. Mm-hmm. It is the worry about what you have.
So the love of money is a self-inflicted one. It's like taking a sword and plunging it into your soul. And Paul says, you pierce yourself with many different griefs. Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money. Again, it's not money, it's the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The writer is saying there, hey, be content with God.
Yeah.
Start with Him. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to give you what you need. The psalmist says, I've never seen a righteous man go hungry or his children begging for bread.
That's a great comfort, because it really helps put those things into perspective.
There's another group that Paul addresses here. And Tunch, I think this is a group that we kind of forget. God has blessed a lot of people with a lot of money. They didn't go after it in the wrong way. They are sold out for God, but He's blessed them with a lot of money.
Right.
And the people I've talked to in those situations, it's a burden, because they're wondering, am I using it enough? Can I have the Wave Runner and still honor God?
Yeah.
You know, am I giving enough to Him? I had a buddy, in fact, we were with him not long ago, and I said, I talked to people with a lot of money, and, you know, I think money can be a burden. And he said, well, I never thought of it like that, but he said, now you say it. He said, I have found myself more and more meeting with someone regarding wills, or meeting with someone about my business, or meeting with someone about an investment. He said, I never thought of it as a burden, but he said, the more I think of it, the time it takes to deal with it. But God has given people wealth. And so Paul says, let's talk about that. The first thing Paul says is, be thankful. Look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope into God, who richly provides them with everything we need for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So Paul's saying it's not a killjoy. God gives you these things. You can enjoy them, but be thankful for what God has given you. Paul tells those who have money to stay humble. We've just read this. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but keep your hope in God. Remember, everything comes from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 through 19 says this, you may say to yourself, my power and strength and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth.
When I played football, there was a part of me that wanted to take credit for my accomplishments because I worked hard. I trained 3 hours every morning, then I'd go down to the Steelers facility, I'd train all day and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that that too was a gift. Mm-hmm. The work ethic was a gift. And I think a lot of times there are certain parts of what we have that mm-hmm. we might not be as eager to let go and say, oh yeah, that is of God.
Right.
And I think hard work is one of those things that at least I know that I can fall victim to, because I want to say, hey, I worked hard. And a lot of times, the culture will add to that. Well, you worked hard to play 14 years in the NFL. You worked hard to mm-hmm. accomplish A, B, C, or D. But in the end, that's also a gift of God.
And you look back, and I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but no one is as smart as they think they are. No one's as skilled as they think they are. And going to the sports analogy, you're born in Turkey.
Right.
God put something in your parents' heart to move over here. You would have never played football.
No, no.
Had you stayed in Turkey.
No, Turkish football, which I stunk at, which is soccer.
You're a big guy. Yeah. You didn't do anything. You could get bigger and stronger, but the DNA is there.
Not that much bigger and stronger.
That's a gift from God.
That's right. That's right.
You didn't get hurt. There were guys who worked harder. I mean, I know you worked harder.
Nobody worked harder than me, Ron.
I'm sorry to say that. I wanted just to clarify. There was one guy, Tunch, that worked a little harder than you did.
No, you're right. Yeah, right.
And you've said that often. As much as you play, small percentage of guys play 14 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
What's the average?
Like 3.1 years, the average career span. You know, I'm just very thankful. It is God's grace. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I would be put at a place. Here's the other thing. I came to a place where Chuck Knoll, the head coach, didn't care if you were big as an offensive lineman. He just cared if you could play.
Right time.
Right time. That's right. I came to a place where there were great, not only coaches, but great players who were mentors. Mm-hmm. The Lord brought me onto himself because of guys like John Cole, Mike Webster, Craig Woofley, Ted Peterson, Donnie Shell, John Stallworth, guys that love Jesus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is all a gift. I mean, I thank God every day that this is where he planted me. This is where he introduced himself to me. Mm-hmm. This is where he grew me. And this is where I still live. That's grace.
Talked to a guy just the other day, great guy. His son, tremendous high school athlete, could have played football in college, chose to play baseball in college, gets drafted. 7 years in the minor leagues, and he has some injuries in there, some challenging times. He's having a great year. His mom gets sick, passes away, and he hardly recovered that year.
Right.
He has an injury. Long story short, after 7 years, he gives it up.
Right.
And I said, how's he doing? And his dad said this. He realizes if it hadn't been for this, if it hadn't been for this, if it hadn't been for this, he would have gotten called up, and you need about 40, 50 at-bats in the major leagues to be able to get signed the next year. But at the end of the day, he said this, you know what? God is sovereign, and we trust in his sovereignty. Admitting that God's sovereign, there's a humility that comes with that.
Right. Yeah, there is. And you acknowledge that he provides what you have, everything from the ability to the size to the opportunity. But I think what most people don't realize until they get there is when you realize that God is sovereign in everything, in your career, your athletic career, your academic career, your professional career, there's great freedom in that too. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm the only one that makes it happen, what happens when I don't make it happen? Mm-hmm. If I'm the one that brings it, well, what happens when I don't bring it? And what happens when I lose? And what happens when my career is done? Is it my fault? And now I go through this beating myself up, coulda, shouldas, wouldas. The beauty of living for Christ in any area is that God just wants our best effort. When that's all said and done, the results are his.
Mm. Yeah, we have a mutual friend who says that he lived a lot of his early Christian life with the slogan, if it's to be, it's up to me. Then he realized, and if it's to be, it's up to God.
Yeah.
Because God is sovereign. So stay humble. If God's blessed you with things, stay humble. Stay dependent. Command those who are rich. And by the way, Paul says command. Don't suggest.
Yeah, that's right.
But command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything we need. So it's God who is providing us with the things we need.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a look at our next time together. In a day of doubts and fears, of challenges and opportunities, you need the assurance of God's power and guidance. The children of Israel faced just such days as they entered the Promised Land. How they won the day with God's direction and strength is told in the book of Joshua. Now, Ron Moore surveys that heroic story in his encouraging devotional, Strong and Courageous. In its reflections, Ron shares thought-provoking insights that will equip you to spiritually imitate Israel's ultimate victories. A digital copy of Strong and Courageous is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Tunch for a preview of our next broadcast.
In chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, let me just read this starting in verse 17. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. And then check this out, verse 19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. And I love this, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Oh, man, that's good.
Amen. Yeah,
that's
amen.
Good. Lasting enjoyment comes when you invest in eternal things.
Lord, just always cause me to think that way, because it is truth. And when you experience it, you see it, you touch it, you say, yeah, Lord, this is it. This is what I should be about. But that other temptation is always just off stage going, but you know what? So I think that's a great word for us.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a digital download of Ron Moore's inspiring devotional, Strong and Courageous, is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Also, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Rostraver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, we ask that you tell your friends and family about our program. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunge next time as we walk together on The Journey.